Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting, and I have the crew with me, Simon Street. What's up, man?
What's good, everybody? What's good?
Yes, yes. Matt Michaels, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good, good. King Lucky, what's up?
Are you ready?
Gotcha. And on our phone line, she is blessing us with her presence one more time from KC. That stands for Kansas City. Micah, what's up?
I'm back.
That's right. Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So let's get right into it. The Royal Rumble. We have yet to talk about the show. The two of us, which was myself and Lucky, was at the show. I'm sure we have a totally different perspective from what you guys saw on TV. So we want to know what you thought of that. I'm going to start with you, though. King Lucky, what was your take on the Rumble?
So I had mixed emotions when I was at the show. It was kind of a weird setup, you know, just the way it was in the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some things were missing right off the bat. The WrestleMania sign, which later we got on a video board, which is cool. But
that's true.
After going back and watching the show, I thought they delivered on some great graphical content with, like, the VR stuff that they did.
Right.
So it looked good on TV. So overall, I think they got the job done, mission accomplished, and the results actually delivered too. So,
okay. Let's go over to you, Simon. Like, what out of all the matches you saw in the Rumble, which one stood out the most?
To be real with you, I would just say the Women's Royal Rumble by far, I think, took the show. It was, to me, was the most innovative.
Yeah.
It was the most riddled with things that you didn't expect. And obviously the ending.
True.
Was much to be desired. I loved every moment of it, and hope they do more.
Did you all think, and this could, you could start off with this one, Matt, did you really think that Becky was going to somehow come out? Because when it hit 29 and Nia Jax was out, and we knew that Carmella was number 30, how was this going to play? What was your take on that when you saw that?
I initially, when Street and I were watching it, I said, after she lost to Asuka, she's coming into the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
What was not expected was to use the limping injury angle.
Mm-hmm.
So once 30 hit, I actually said, boy, I guess it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know,
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, it felt like it wasn't going to happen. And then what you guys couldn't see that we got to see on TV was when she came out and she's begging Finley to get in, she actually says to him, come on, I'm Irish, you're Irish, come on, let me in. And that persuaded him. He thought about it for a second, and then he's like, okay, go in. And that worked perfectly. It was well planned. The only objection I had, and I think you guys probably felt this in the audience, was it should have been last, because the Daniel Bryan AJ match, which was a freaking solid match, just could not keep the audience after everyone was, you know,
pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, at the show, that was, believe it or not, that was the bathroom break during that match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Everyone just took off. The women's match was just, it just took a lot out of everyone.
Because
fire.
Yeah, and I looked at Street, and I actually said, Lucky's probably going for nachos right now.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
Micah, what was your take on the Rumble, even if it's the women's match, what we're talking about now?
Overall, it was a really good show. I mean, I enjoyed it. Most of the matches I didn't have any issue with. The women's Rumble was good. I thought it was just a tad long.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, of course, I predicted that Becky would come out and win, so I was hyped when I saw her win the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, that was definitely the highlight of the match for everyone. I tell you this. Oh, Simon, you disagree?
I would say that although the Women's Royal Rumble was the highlight
sure.
of the evening, for me personally, something happened beautiful. And I wonder, did you guys think about it being live when your boy Simon Street's prediction for Hornswoggle actually came true? Because I was hanging out with Michaels, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was right. Oh my gosh.
You was right. How did you know that, by the way?
To be real with you, I'll never tell.
Okay.
But my Street report always runs deep with facts.
Apparently he has a connection out in the field and he won't share that with us. That's all good.
Never.
He won't divulge. Okay.
Never.
Right. Let me ask you this. I really thought that. And don't ask me why. I guess that's part of being a fan. I thought Finn Balor was really going to take down Brock. I really thought that this was really about to be the end. I mean, he took it to him. Why
he
do
was
you?
Phenomenal.
It was, right?
It was. I mean, he was doing some shit. I was like, go ahead.
He was. Why does Brock still hold the title? Either one of you. Why?
Probably because I think Roman's the only person to take it off of him.
Well, that's a problem if that's the case.
Well, I'm just saying. Right. I'm just saying if it ain't Roman, then I think they want to see Braun do it. Although I have no idea what the hell they doing with that big meat castle. We have no idea because, mm-hmm. You know, Lucky was saying earlier, like, they're holding him back and they put him forward. I don't know.
I think it's coming out.
Either.
I think his coming out party is WrestleMania. Yeah. They're probably going to put the strap on him. Or
that'd
the
be nice.
Title.
On Braun?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, tell him he's crazy. Please, tell him he's crazy.
I will say this. I will say this about Braun having the belt, and I've always said this. If he is not a tyrant monster, if he's not booked as a tyrant monster, I'm not trying to do fantasy book. I'm just saying, like, I prefer seeing him just tear shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and I think him being booked as just a tyrant or whatever you want to call it, and him holding the belt and being booked strong like that, I think is more entertaining. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
Versus him kind of being almost like him. He's like a tweener almost. Like, he's still, I feel he's still booked as a face. At least for the crowd, but then he still kind of every once in a while does some heel shit. What do y'all think? Yeah.
I agree with you, Street. He needs to be kick ass. You know what? He needs to be more like Joe. And I'm not just saying that because I like Joe, but he needs to have that. I don't give a fuck. I will kick whoever gets in my way attitude because that's just him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So what do you guys think about the men's Rumble? Did that, you like how that came out?
Yeah, because I think they're finally doing something smart if they go with Rollins versus Daniel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, that to me seems like a natural matchup. You're going to get good wrestling. Plus, you can't not have Becky and Ronda as your main event. So all the other matches,
you said you can't?
You can't not.
Oh,
can't
right, not right, right, gotcha, right. Gotcha.
So I mean, that has to be a main event because if just the way the crowd was dead after the Women's Rumble match,
mm-hmm.
there's no way that a WrestleMania, if that's not your main event, your crowd is, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
You know, you had a hot match, and then you had the tag match with Nicholas, who I adore. But you, some of you guys hate him.
Oh, I'm going to say it real quick.
Please don't let them get into that, please.
Nah.
Street and Lucky just don't like kids.
So. I like kids very much, not when I'm paying to watch their asses. That's all I'm saying. But that's beside the point. Continue.
I thought you liked to pay watching kids' asses.
Right.
No, absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not.
But, you know, the crowd got real, you know, dead for the last two matches. It was just, when you have a solid match, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And I think with Reigns and Daniel, it would make, or not Reigns, but Rollins and Daniel, it make sense to have a match like that, which is going to be technically a hotter match.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have two guys that you haven't really seen go at it, which I think is, you know, very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just don't know if I want to see Brock versus Rollins, because it's just kind of a weird dynamic. I really think Becky jumps to Raw, Rollins jumps to SmackDown.
Hmm.
I'm going to go the opposite. I think Rollins versus Brock has a great story. They actually have history with Rollins coming out and cashing in at 31. So
right.
I think that tells an incredible story. And I think that Rollins will definitely have a great working match with Brock, whereas, you know, in the historically Brock, you know, do some suplexes and things like that, and then it's a squash. So I think it'll actually be a very good match, even though I wouldn't mind seeing Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins too, but my money's on Rollins and Brock.
So would you say it's more or less a consensus of, do you want a clinic match versus a brawl?
I think you're going to get a little bit of it all in that match with Rollins and Brock.
Okay. I mean, it is Rollins, so.
Micah, does Brock beat Rollins?
You know what? I want to say no, but history tells me that Lesnar will beat Rollins at Mania.
I'm thinking that too, to be honest with you. So again, no one can take the guy down. I mean, what's the point?
I disagree. Okay. I disagree.
Go ahead.
If I were going to have a match with Braun Strowman, I would make sure that I use a corner of a table, because everybody knows that is an equalizer for Brock Lesnar.
That's true.
If you jam his, whatever you want to call that, midsection of the beast, that really was like a true enough equalizer. But real talk, I will say, and I told Michaels when we were watching this, mm-hmm. for someone to beat Brock that's not a big ass dude, or woman, maybe now I want to get involved, I don't know, it has to be a stipulation change. It has to be like falls count everywhere. The only reason why is because you need to have that margin for unexpected shit. Do you see what I'm saying? To make it believable. Because let's be real, the way they've booked Brock has been super freaking strong. And it's like, unless it's a big dude, that's why I felt bad for the match with Finn. He gave him everything he had, but realistically, the way it's been booked thus far with Brock, I just couldn't see Finn on the other end unless somebody came in on a controversy, you know, like I think we were talking, Michaels, maybe like Braun come in and interfere with the match and then, you know, Finn able to capitalize. Right. You know, something to that nature, I think at this point with Brock could work. But having it just be a straight up match, I just don't see it. I mean, maybe it's just me.
Let me ask you, Micah, what was your take when you saw Nia Jax enter herself into the Men's Royal Rumble? What was your take on that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got two issues with this.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I got mixed feelings. Let me say that.
Okay.
My first thought was, you got your ass in the ring with the men, you get what you get.
Right. Okay.
But my second thought was, as a general rule, I'm not a fan of intergender wrestling.
Mm.
So overall, I had that feeling after I was like, hey, you put yourself in that position.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Matt? What do you think people think of that when they see that?
I have no problem with the intergender aspect of it. I think, you know, we just saw, you know, when you look at someone like Becky,
mm-hmm.
And her going face to face with Cena, in right. you know with the mic skills and stuff, I think you're starting to see equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going in that a little bit of that direction of they're not going to full out do intergender, you know. But you're seeing the mixed tag team tournament.
Sure.
They're trying to elevate the women onto the men's level,
right?
To make them equal, which is great. I think, you know, if there's one person you're going to do it with, it's Nia. Now, am I wrong on this? My memory fails me, and I could look it up, but I'm too lazy.
Okay.
Didn't Awesome Kong, didn't she enter the Rumble, right?
She did.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they never acknowledge it. They only say that three women have done it, and they never acknowledge her doing it. So it's very interesting that, you know, you put in Nia, who would be the next beast to do it. And at the same time, they've already done it. So to me, it's not a big deal because you've already set the precedence with China and Beth Phoenix.
Sure.
And Awesome Kong. You know, so it's already been there. I really would have liked to seen Nia start using, you know, just some crazy ass moves that, you know, we didn't necessarily see her do before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give her a little variation to show, you know, I'm here and this is not bullshit.
Right.
But otherwise, I have no problem with it. And I actually thought, what a twist it would have been if she would have won the match.
I thought about that too, but yeah, I doubt. Ooh.
What was the crowd reaction like in Phoenix?
It's pretty hot. It was pretty hot. Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, if it's well-placed, like Nia, China, Beth Phoenix, then I think it comes across good. You know, you can't have a long-term feud with it or anything like that. But
right.
I thought for novelty, it was pretty good.
Yeah. So overall, where were you guys put this Rumble compared to past Rumbles you've seen? Was it up there with others, or was it just all right, or was it just horrible?
It was average.
Average?
I mean, it was. Overall, it was pretty good for a few hot or high spots, but I didn't leave there saying, wow, this was the Rumble that, you know, I'm definitely going to remember for years to come.
Okay, what do you think, Simon?
7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10?
Almost an 8. Almost an 8. 7.5.
Okay. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was above average. And if they would have closed with the women's match, I think it would have left a better taste in the mouth.
I agree.
Lucky.
I agree.
Yeah.
And Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, a bit above average. You know, on par with some of the rest of them I've seen.
Okay.
Let
go ahead.
I didn't know if it was on the docket to talk about, but, you know, can we quickly talk about NXT TakeOver?
Oh, sure.
I mean, it was some real good matches.
It was.
So I hear. I wasn't privileged to go, but I hear some a couple of guys decided to go.
You know, this
was there.
This was my very first TakeOver, and I now see why the hype is what it is. I mean, the show was just... And you see how they started off the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, wow, Triple H must have produced this segment, you know, because I was like, this was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything about it, Gargano and Ricochet, these guys, I don't even know how they do half of the moves they do. It just seems like the body is not supposed to twist and turn and jump and flip as quickly as it does.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, man, I mean, it was a great show, and we were right in the middle of it.
Yeah, the War Raiders definitely.
Oh, their intro
benefit from that intro, and then got the rub to win the belts too.
Yeah.
So, I think it was a good night for them. It definitely increased their stock, and it didn't take anything away from Undisputed Era.
Nah, and to be honest with you, just because I watch NXT quite regularly, it just, you know, there are some factions that don't necessarily need the belts all the time, and Undisputed Era is one of those. So, you know, in fact, the tag belts dropped, it doesn't take away from them. What I will say I really enjoyed about that night was just how everything just went together. I just felt like it was very finely paced. I did like how they showed Shine on Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano at the end.
Right.
If you watch WWE and you had the network, you were privy to see some extra stuff that happened, which led up to what we're going to talk about next, Halftime Heat.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of Halftime Heat?
Michael, go ahead. What do you think of Halftime Heat?
I was hyped. It was so much fun. Like the spots, you know, Matt Hart was, and he would say spot, call them spot monkeys, but I loved it. I mean, they killed it.
Yeah, they did. What do you think of?
I mean, there's nothing else to say. I mean, it was more entertaining than seeing Adam Levine's nipples.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that man's nipples.
No, there's not, but it was more entertaining than his nipples. I'm just talking about entertainment, pure entertainment. Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Let me ask you, just so with NXT, is there at this point, after looking at the takeover, do you see someone that's ready now to move up to WWE now that you've seen what you've seen?
I'll tell you what, after the match between Shayna and Bianca Belair, Bianca's stock is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
She wrestled a hell of a match.
She sure did.
She walked into it not being a clear-cut babyface, but walked out of it being a babyface.
Did I get his name right? Is the guy named Sam Roberts that supposedly made that comment about Bianca saying that she is not even in the league with all the other top female wrestlers? That's why she made that. Well, I don't know if y'all saw this past week's NXT, but she kind of went off on him a little bit. Yeah.
As she should. Mm-hmm. As she should. I agree with you 100%. I mean, Bianca Belair, even back when you talk about the Mae Young Classic,
mm-hmm.
Not this one, the one before that, she's just been on. It's just a matter of time, you know. And the fact that they had a match that I would put up in NXT history as up there with the excitement of Sasha and Bayley, you know, to say that is pretty big, because that's a pretty high benchmark right now. When people talk about women's NXT matches of all time, right now you're gonna talk about Sasha and Bayley. It just is what it is. I want somebody to email us and go toe-to-toe with me on trying to dispute that, because that's the truth.
When don't you think Sasha's matches aren't the hottest matches?
Outside of my biased opinion, if it was not Sasha and it was some other female, that match in general was amazing for a women's match. But yes, you are right. Sometimes I am biased. But what I will tell you, I don't want to add it in because I know I may not. Did you guys get a chance to watch Worlds Collide? If you didn't, it's okay. It's fine. You guys are busy. The one thing that they did on Worlds Collide, I wanted to quickly see what you guys thought about it. They took an interesting turn on booking the beginning of a tournament match. As we all know, sometimes tournament matches are really not for everybody. Not everybody likes them, especially Vince, from what I've heard. But what they did is they first started with a rumble. And as people were eliminated, they would pair them off. Now, the person that won the Rumble would get a bye in the tournament. What do you guys think of that concept? Is it a kind of a good way to shake it up? I know other promotions have done it that way before, but this is the first time that I can remember, correct me if I'm wrong, that WWE has done that.
No, that's the first time you're right on that. I think that in general, that concept apparently makes people just look at their phones.
It's usually just when Simon Street talks, but it's fine because then later on we're going to talk about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, that was amazing. That was great.
Micah, you can't see, but Lucky and Daryl are just looking on their phones like there's like some kind of like
exactly
midget on midget porn going on or something. Yeah. They're just kind of laughing but looking intensely at it.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, listen, I'm pretty much I'm preparing for the next topic, but
wow, is that much? Okay, you know what? I'm gonna laugh.
Well,
at you, okay?
I haven't seen Worlds Collide yet, and I know you were saying what have we thought about it. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'd rather see it first.
Well, spoiler alert!
It's gonna be a spoiler alert because you wouldn't listen to me. The winner of the first ever Worlds Collide match was the Velveteen Dream. He now gets to pick what title of his choice.
He's literally just fucking doing spoilers.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks.
I am. Because you know what? You know what?
Thank you, Micah.
It ended. When did Worlds Collide end? It wasn't today.
It wasn't Petty Pablo.
Some just Petty Pablo. Bye. Anyways, like I said, y'all get mad at me all you want. I thought it was a fantastic idea. I think it showcased NXT UK talent as well as 205 Lucky's favorite. Oh, and man, as well as NXT, ooh, which we all seem to love. So at the end of the day, the network is still popping great hits out. And for only $9.99, do you get an opportunity to watch that?
That's cheaper than Netflix.
It is damn near cheaper than Netflix.
Awesome. Let's go into our next topic of the evening. I occasionally sometimes pick up the Forbes magazine. Sometimes I even look online and read what type of articles they have.
He thinks he's better than all of us.
Well, I like to see how big my money is, you know, so I have to go to Forbes and look how long that money is.
None of that's your money.
Money back.
That's right. But anyway, so they have a contributor on that in the Forbes magazine, and he wrote about tampering in sports. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not a huge sports fan. I pick teams at the last minute. I'm all about the Rams. You know, when they I'm all about the Rams. I haven't watched one game, but hey, whatever. That's how it works.
They just got smacked down.
But nevertheless, there is a rule, I guess, a tampering rule that's followed in sports, where if a person is contracted, they're not allowed to reach out to someone else who is contracted to try to bring them over. I guess there are rules against that, and if you violate that, you could be heavily fined by the organization. Mm-hmm. So the question comes up because there are no rules in place for professional wrestling.
Not true.
Oh.
Non-compete clauses. Oh. There's
no. It goes even farther.
That's not saying it's anti-tampering.
Yeah. So the truth of the matter is, and this goes back from what I know about the contracts when the Monday Night Wars were going on.
Okay.
Okay. So if you are under contract, you cannot then, if you are a company, directly reach out to someone who is under contract and start negotiating. So basically, you have to wait and back channel it. This is how the deals get done.
Okay.
So you take basically talent who knows other talent. Those guys talk. There's nothing illegal about that. Same in sports. Other guys can talk to other guys if you're on different teams.
Okay.
But once the company itself starts reaching out and talking negotiations, now they can send soft feelers, but you cannot negotiate with someone who's under contract because of the fact that you're violating that contract. Conditional. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, sorry, I squashed your
it's
whole
a breach
thing.
Of con. It's a, it's breach a of contract to
well,
do that.
Again, so I guess in his piece, he makes it as if that isn't the case. You know, and
that's
he's even made
it. Article said.
Huh?
That's what the article said. It said that WWE does not have that anti-tampering language within their contracts.
Correct.
That's what the article said. Whether that's true or not is to be debated.
Of
that's what he said.
It also talked about the idea of WWE was reaching out to Dalton Castle while he was under contract as well. But again, nothing has happened about that.
Right. So, again, this is what it comes down to. And,
okay.
And even Forbes magazine.
Sure.
Even Forbes magazine will put it out there where the article is to get you to read.
Okay. Right,
that's the whole point of why you do journalism.
It
you
works. Want
to get people, yeah. So basically, in the end, there is no proof.
Okay.
In the pudding, that anyone has been offered anything. Now, could they have? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would it have been Vince McMahon? No way in hell, because Vince himself would get. They could get fined. Basically.
Right.
But could talent relations through a backdoor channel do it? Yes. And that's the same if the WWE doesn't have it in their contracts. Then, again, other organizations can talk to them, but it's never going to be. So if AEW is reaching out, it's not going to be the money man. It's going to be Cody, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Okay.
That's at least my take on it.
Gotcha.
You could be totally fucking wrong on, you know, what's going on out there, but to my knowledge and having dealt with contracts in the entertainment industry.
Because my question was going to be, if it's true that they don't have this, should they have it in professional wrestling? But if they have it, then...
Well, it's a contract is a contract. It doesn't matter if it's right. A clown show or if it's WWE or if it's just a podcast. If you have a contract, you have a contract. And you have to follow that contract, or you need to provide a lawyer to right. to negotiate your contract. Simple True. As that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into another topic. You have something you want to say?
The biggest topic of the week.
Well, go ahead.
Dean Ambrose.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
All right. What's your take on Dean, man?
I think it's a work, I'll be honest with you. I've never seen them. Unless somebody really messed up and they violated wellness or did something really bad, be publicly announced as they're separating from the company. So I think it's a work.
Well, he definitely wasn't given his future endeavors.
They can't future. They're not gonna future endeavor him at this point because his contract's up. Right after WrestleMania. So,
He's not. At the end of the day, it's a little bit more complicated. I just want to point out something. Y'all could jump all over it.
All right, what's up?
When we have married couples that work for the WWE in history, it has not worked very well when somebody is ready to leave and the other person go with them. So I don't think that Dean Ambrose is going anywhere. Do I think it's a work? I think so. This one time, I'm going to agree.
Micah, what do you think?
I don't think it's a work.
Thank you.
You know, I think this goes towards the question that Daryl put in his for number three is so WWE is, yeah, they're the big dog and that matters. They can offer the biggest contracts and all of that. But I think now it matters just a little bit less than it used to because wrestlers have other options like ROH, New Japan, you know, Lucha Underground, which their future is somewhat, you know, in the air right now. But they can make a good living and maybe have more freedom mm-hmm. with their storylines and mm-hmm. gimmicks and all that kind of things. And so I think overall, you know, those having those other promotions are what's best for business. You know, no pun intended.
See, and thanks for that, because I was about to go into that, and then you know, King Lucky wanted to go right into Dean Ambrose. But, I mean, that's a fair question, right? We do know that WWE is the big dog, but truly, does that really even matter anymore? From what we see in the business, I mean...
I think it only matters with merch.
Well, you know what? The other thing, too, and this is... Dean is different. You know, he is very frugal mm-hmm. from all accounts. You know, I think that sometimes when you go through an injury like he went through and you spend a little time home and around, you know, the Vegas area, you
hey
know,
now.
Yeah, you know, you, it kind of makes you go, you know what, maybe I want to stay here a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to have options, you know, open. And if, you know, if you feel like you might just need a break, you know, he might just need a break. That's as simple as that. That's why it's not a future endeavor.
Right.
You play out the rest of the contract, and I don't think it's like, you know, I think that there's too much speculation that, oh, he's gonna leave the company because he wants to sign with AEW.
Right.
Everyone is pushing AEW as this is like, everyone wants to be there.
Right.
But at the same time, nothing's proven yet.
True.
And if people, you know, do sign with them, that's great. It's opportunity.
Let me ask you this, though. So going back to my question, as we know they're the top dog, but doesn't matter. You have someone, the top free agent, Kenny Omega.
Omega.
Who was offered, I'm sure, 7 figures easily, and he probably could have got the Brock contract easily. Why would he not take it?
Because you're assuming that's what they offered him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that he could have negotiated whatever.
I don't think they did.
You don't think so?
I absolutely do not think that they would have thrown the house to him.
Nope. Wow.
Uh-oh. Nope.
So you think, okay. So you think they, whatever they offered, it was like, nah, whatever he was offered, it was going to definitely be more than I'm sure what any other promotion would offer him. Would you?
Not necessarily.
Well, think about this, Daryl.
Okay.
Okay, so Dean Ambrose, it said that they're going to give him a five-year contract with, like, just over $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom. Now, that's some good change.
It is.
So, if Dean Ambrose is going to walk away from that kind of money,
right?
The question is why? What is it about WWE that's going to make him walk away from $5 million at a minimum?
The CC, creative control.
Well, and that's why Cody left, right?
Okay, so I agree with you, Streak.
Okay. What's up, man? You look like you got something on your mind.
No, I just, you know, again, I think that we're generalizing because we're taking someone like Dean Ambrose who might not be in the same state of mind as, you know, someone who might need that money.
Yeah.
Dean probably has, you know, enough saved up. It's not like...
Well, that's true.
You know, and Renee's still working.
Yeah, she will keep working.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but will that be the case if it goes? Again, I'm going to point out, given the history of when you have a wife and a husband, or vice versa, spouses that work in the company, history has shown to where eventually they both go. I'm just saying, based off of history, it doesn't mean that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you're looking at a different aspect. There's never been a husband and wife commentator, you know, or one that is a commentator and one that is a in-ring talent.
That's true.
You know, so, and don't forget, Dean also has, his body's been beat up like hell for years and years and years because he was a backyard wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you need that break. Now, Omega, you know, it's like, does he need the money as well? That's the thing.
Right.
And AEW has the bank account. If they want to make him the top guy, mm-hmm. they can give him the money. They can give him points on the company if they want.
Right.
You know, they're working off a whole different animal. So, you know, it's the option now is not that the WWE is the big dog, but that if you personally have a, you know, it's what your goals and what your potential is in the moment that you're in that point of your career right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing I can't tell you, and going back to what Matt was saying with contracts, when you have a contract, you do have to meet your contract in full. When you don't, you can receive penalties. You can receive lawsuits and whatnot. Right. So when we speak about a lot of WWE talent and how they are requesting for their releases and all that other stuff, it's really like cry for whether it's real or not. Like, it's a desperation attempt. Because at the end of the day, WWE does not have to release anybody from their contracts early, and you will still need to report to work or you will receive penalties.
Sure.
It's just as simple as that. Same for anybody.
Now, let me ask you, if I'm right or not, you guys may know, I may not know, Dolph Ziggler has yet to sign a new contract deal.
Rumor is that he has not.
Okay. That's AJ Styles has
yet.
Same
thing.
Okay. By all means, they may more than likely will sign. They just haven't yet. Interestingly, because in most cases, they would have signed by now like they've done before. So there is a chance that, you know, they may go elsewhere. And we're not even talking the AEW. Or they may not want to do anything.
I don't think so. They do it with football all the time.
Okay.
They do it football all the time. I remember when Drew Brees didn't sign for like a whole month. There's like, oh, you know what? Dallas is thinking about trying to pick him up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about other teams. I mean, they do with football and basketball all the time. And really, you have to realize they probably may already decide they want to, but they have their legal team looking at, we want to iron out a couple of things. We want to cross-check a couple of things before we cross the T's and dot the I's. So they may actually have a confirmation of, yeah, we're going to go ahead and sign again. But we just want to make sure everything's ironed out because it is a contract again.
True.
It's a contract. You, from this point A to this point B, must provide these services. And we will compensate you, in the WWE's term, quite richly for you to render these services.
I think Dolph has more probability to leave than AJ does. AJ's got probably the top five spot in the company, not ranking it, but
right.
You know, he's got one of those spots in the company. So I think he'd be hard pressed to want to leave, but I think Dolph can benefit a lot from leaving.
And apparently, from going back to that same Forbes magazine, which I was told to not really pay attention to that because it's for entertainment purposes.
I didn't say it was for entertainment purposes.
Well,
but
let me just say this.
So
Dolph,
you know,
supposedly Dolph mentioned AEW in a conversation while he is still under contract.
It's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, what's the rule in that? I mean, there's no rule.
Yeah, you can mention anything you want to mention
as wanting to be a part of it.
Sure.
Or possible, okay.
Because Goldust did the same thing. He wished his brother the best in his new venture, and I believe he did use the words AEW in a hashtag.
Okay,
yeah,
he didn't get in trouble.
As long as you're not going to AEW and basically saying, "Hey, this is the amount I want. What can you give me?" and they come back at you with a number, then you're violating your contract.
Yep. Okay.
Does that make sense, Micah?
Yeah, it makes sense. My whole thing is we don't really know what the contracts say.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So who do I call to get their contract? I need to look this over.
Well, when you find out, let all of us know.
I need to look this over for them.
Let me guess, you're going straight to voicemail.
You got a better chance of filling up money in an offering plate to Raja.com's church.
Oh.
If you want to get that, yeah, I'm throwing shots.
My God.
I'm throwing shots.
All right, y'all. Let me let's talk a little bit about TV this week. I know we've talked a little bit about Dean, but there was Raw and SmackDown for this week. Anything stood out to you? We haven't talked about Shane yet and Miz, best tag team in the world. What do you guys take on that?
Ronda must slow down.
So I have... Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that, man. So here's my gripe on Ronda. He's about to play something. There you go. So she came in. She got the wrestling. I don't have a problem with her wrestling. I know there are some folks that will go around like, oh, my God, she can't wrestle. You hear that from the WWE universe, from anyone they don't like. But she came in pretty quick, got down some moves, and she does a good job with that. What I'm quite concerned is why haven't they spent as much time, and maybe we could say they have, but when it comes to the mic work, when it deals with WWE Universe, 14,000 people booing you all at once, to how to counter that. It's I know that they've done well with her with just talking in general, but she was talking to fans over time that started off really liking her, and then over time half liked her and half didn't. But coming out of Rumble, we knew that next show was going to be brutal, and it just seemed like she wasn't prepared for it. Like, they didn't prepare her for that. Am I wrong on this? Matt's about to whoop me. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just, the thing is that, first of all, they have a very fundamental problem with Ronda, and it's very simple. That is, they pushed her as a face. However, she's a natural heel. Because if you look at her face, you look at her actions, you look at her intensity,
right,
she's a natural heel.
So why couldn't she go right into heel mode?
Because.
Why does it matter from this point? I'm sorry.
Because they haven't gotten there yet. Daryl, you're jumping the gun. Like, you have to.
You're jumping the gun like a promo.
Okay, yeah. but here's the problem. I know.
You got to kiss the neck before you touch the tip.
Wow.
Sorry, Micah.
No
background R&B music from the 90s with that one.
Not at all.
Damn.
You have to, it's booking 101. You have to make the crowd love that person and then flip them. You know, you couldn't bring her in hot as a heel, because let's say if they did bring her in as a heel, everybody would hate her right off the bat. And you can't turn her into
this is what I'm saying, though. So she comes out really wanting to give love and props to the match she had with the Boss. Okay, nobody cares. Why try
hold
to?
On,
why?
Hold
you,
on.
Why do you feel? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What I told you I'm about sorry, that Simon. Mouth, boy. Better watch it.
But even when she is getting booed, she's still trying to get this script out. Like, I've got to say, we've had a great match. I enjoyed it. Why? Why not just stop for a minute and say, how can I flip this? Not necessarily go full heel, but why continue on the same script when you see that it is. It's distracting.
She's still too early.
Because it's WWE.
But even more than that,
and
yes.
And they want her to stay on script.
Yes, but she's still too early on in her career. So there's some things that we probably didn't expect from her, which was to pick up the wrestling at a rate that she did, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. But every so often, you'll have talent that will get the ring skills down and the mic skills. It doesn't happen for everybody right away. And so that's why I think...
I agree, and I don't think it happens.
Right.
And I'll give you an even...
You know, I mean, most of the time, it doesn't happen. There's usually one... You're either better in the ring or better on the mic. It's hard that somebody's both. That's a rare combo.
That's a rock combo.
But that's true. That is a rock.
Even among current talent. Even among talent nowadays.
But Micah, what... Let me ask you this, Mike. I'm sorry. Wouldn't you say that Roman had the same situation, and now over time, he has figured it out? He's come to the ring. They boo him. They say everything. And
what did you just say? What
over
did you
time.
Just? There you go, Lucky. Thank you.
Key.
Roman just didn't do that after being there 1 year, bud.
Yeah, all right. You're putting the carriage before the horses.
All again, right. you're grabbing that tip before you kiss the neck.
But I will
I need
tell
to stop
you,
doing that.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're already married, man. Otherwise, we'd be very fearful of your chances at a nice, long, romantic life.
But I will tell you that they did.
I'm gonna go sit down. Go ahead, man.
They did the right thing in having Heyman work with her, and so her promos have been good.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, you stumble every once in a while. You know, it's okay.
I don't know.
And let's
I don't
let's
think
be real.
Good.
Hold on. Let's
you don't
be real.
Think they're good?
No, I don't think they're good. I think that they're average.
What about when she was in the Nikki Bella feud? I thought she gave some good promos there, and she dropped the line about John Cena, and I thought, you know, that was good. I thought some of the stuff leading up to the stuff with her and Becky was good, and the stuff with her and Charlotte.
Can I be honest? I think she's good when, not that she's ad-libbing anything, but I think that when they're writing or her promos that go, I don't want to put this. If you look at when she's been on, it's always been when she's been in more of a heel capacity to a certain extent. Like the heat's on. Oh, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. Brah. It's going great. But I've noticed when she has to be more of a method of it, that's when she kind of stumbles. And to be fair, Phoenix was already ready. If you wasn't pro the man Becky, yeah, right, you was getting booed. Yeah. That was a tough crowd.
And it was. It's a very common problem now. And this is what they're dealing with Roman, with Cena, mm-hmm, with Ronda, with any situation where the fans feel they are smarter than the product.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So everyone has heard, thank you, Dave Meltzer, that Ronda is leaving, right? So now everyone knows this. And what happened in 2004 at WrestleMania 20, when everyone knew Goldberg and Lesnar were both out of there, the place just fucking hated it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't save that, you know, it was a fart in church, because those guys worked hard and they did a match, but it ain't no one going to win that one because the crowd was just upset.
They're already there.
Yeah.
Right.
They're ready.
Yeah.
And that's what the crowd was with Ronda. And at the end of the day, I think she tried, but then she just realized, what can I do?
Go ahead,
Michael. The thing is, you know what? I honestly believe that they should stop writing promos for Ronda. And the reason I say that is because she knows how to trash talk. She was MMA. All you need to give her is some bullet points and let her go. I think she stumbles because she's too confined to saying, I got to do this promo to use these specific words. Don't write for her. Just give her the idea and let her go. It will work.
I agree, Micah. And if you haven't watched Raw yet, I made the reference to that because she started off the show. And what you're speaking about right now is perfect, because you'll notice that she's trying to hit points and stumbling. In MMA, she cut some very good promos. Simple is better.
Mm-hmm.
Cute. All right. Got you.
Cute.
That's Ronda. Let me ask y'all.
Simple is better.
Right.
It works, though. I like that.
What's your take on Daniel Bryan throwing the belt in the trash can?
That is so 1995.
Yeah, it's so old.
And coming out with an earthly
belt. But you know what? Everything he's doing right now,
it's worth
it. It's part of the plan.
It's on. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally,
I can't do wrong in my eyes.
I think it's fickle. Wrong. It's fickle.
No, that belt is awesome. Whoever designed
it. I want that belt. I want that belt. Snoop Dogg want that all hemp belt.
Yeah.
CBD. Mm-hmm.
I want to test it to see how much THC is still left in that belt. I'm just playing.
Okay. Well, that's all I got to say about Daniel Bryan in the belt. What about his partner in crime, Roman?
Oh, so let me ask you
what's up
about Daniel Bryan. Though.
Okay.
What do y'all think about him having Rowan as his heavy now?
Yeah, about to go
I think that's the best work Rowan's going to get.
I think when we were sitting there, Street and I were, when we were watching, Street predicted the big guy.
Sure did.
And I predicted a Colt. And that's exactly what you got. You got the big heavy, who is not a bodyguard per se, but part of that vegan cult. And I think they better fucking run with this.
Right.
Because it would be wonderful. Again, could you imagine doing vignettes on a commune that Daniel Bryan's followers are there? You know?
Right.
Just start brainwashing people. Everything that you could have done with Bray, you can do with him and make it even more realistic.
Yep. Vegan mania is coming.
Vegan. Why not?
If someone coin phrases that, I don't want to check. Just give me the damn shirt. That's what I want.
Yeah, everything he's doing right now is spot on.
Yeah, he can't do wrong. Can't do wrong.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Well, we look like we are coming to the end. Unless there is anything else that crossed your mind at this past week, not tonight's show, which King Lucky got over here on. You're not supposed to be watching tonight's show, but it's all good. Anything last week that caught your mind?
Yeah,
I mean, we already have the Elimination Chamber match for at least one of the matches already. So
yeah, the one thing that I disagree with from TV the last 2 weeks is some of this haphazard booking. And you kind of saw it at Royal Rumble where they took the belt off of the United States title. They took that belt, and then they did another switch on SmackDown.
Oh, geez, they're switching belts. Oh, poor Lucky.
Did you watch wrestling during the Attitude Era?
Yeah. There's belt switches all over the place. Yeah. I think it was just because people had saggy pants.
It's a fucking prop.
But to me, that's part of what is wrong with the product today.
It's not,
you're not
real.
Long
it's not
storytelling.
Oh, my God.
I personally like R-Truth with the U.S.
No, it's not that I don't like R-Truth with the belt.
I thought so, too. I was so mad. I had a chair in my hand.
I was heated. I was, you know what, girl? I was pissed. I was like, they got to play R-Truth again.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I can only say as far as what stands out in my mind of last week, I will make the quick statement and then Street will be out with this one. All of my best dreams.
Okay.
All have bank statements. Thank you.
So is it me?
You know, well, condolences on that match, by the way. I need to tell you that.
Speaking of dreams, is it me or when I was watching Halftime Heat, and I mentioned to you, Daryl, that if they do call up Velveteen Dream, I just see backstage Vince walking and going up to him going, "Hey, R-Truth."
That's horrible. I can see that.
As you know, all black people look alike.
Oh, especially to Vince.
Hey, as long as you don't say the N-word again.
Oh, Lord.
You can't do that twice in one lifetime. You can't do that twice in one lifetime and get away with it.
That's true. Awesome. Anything else? Y'all been watching any other shows?
Anything? Oh, you mean any other shows outside of wrestling or wrestling shows?
Well, any other wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just making sure.
I mean, I've been watching ROH, but I'm entertained by it. I like Kenny King. He cut a real good promo on Flip Gordon. Awesome. Gotta check it out.
Oh, just recently uninjured Flip Gordon.
Big AEW rally coming up this week.
That's right.
In Vegas.
That's right.
Oh,
I anticipate.
I'll be there.
You know why I want to go? Because Omega will be announced.
So, Lucky, I have a question. So, when you go to the rally, are you going to be in the rally with us, or are you going to be there with the rest of the
going to the rally.
With the groupies, with the AEW groupies?
He's going to be at Verizon showing people phones from one hand and have his dick in the other hand.
My God.
Oh my gosh. I think it's time to call
Omega.
The show on this one.
Omega.
Oh, with that, you get a plan that it's a 45 free minutes every third. Omega! Oh!
And Lucky is sticking to that price.
Oh, my God. Y'all something else.
Nah, we love you, Lucky. We just ain't. We just having some fun.
Micah, you got some final words for us? Anything that come to mind?
Thanks for having me back. It's always a lot of fun.
Well, good. We'll keep having you back because it's always good to have that female perspective on things, you know?
No, not perspective. Presence. Presence.
Omega! Oh, gosh. All right. Well, look. So, yes, that's right. AEW will be doing their conference. This
ticket rally.
Yeah, ticket rally this Thursday, MGM Pool. We also have
Impact
Wrestling coming next week.
February 15th, 16th, and 17th.
That's correct.
Then you got ROH.
ROH coming up. That's right in March.
15th and 16th of March.
Yep. That's right. So, Look like
Daryl,
we
will you be making your second impact?
You know what? I probably will. I had a great time at that show.
General admission for the front row is all 3 days, I believe.
$5.
It's damn close. I believe it's $37 for all 3 days.
It sounds about right.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
And if you come, we'll just give you money back just for coming.
Hey, also too, just wanted to let you guys know, on Sunday, February 10th, High Tension, which is brought to you by local Big Valley Pro Wrestling here in Las Vegas,
okay,
is going to be having their show, their public event, and that's going to be at 2 p.m. And if you need directions, they're located on off Karen Street, but you can always go and look for Big Valley Pro Wrestling. They have a Facebook.
Okay.
Good details there.
Well, hey, speaking of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, you can always find us, Vegas Bad Boys with a Z of podcasting. So make sure you go there and hit the like button.
And Peyton Royce approves.
That is true.
Reposted our picture that we took with her.
I know. So sexy.
Well, she's not going to post pictures anymore now.
For the love of God, Daryl, end the show.
Omega! All right, y'all. Until next time, we are out.